God we serve.
Angels bow before Him.
Heaven and earth adore Him. What an awesome God we serve. Certainly we're blessed to be recipients of His grace, tender mercies. The Lord has blessed us beyond enumeration, and we ought to be glad about it. I know you can agree with me when I say it's good to be alive. Good to be in the house of the Lord. One more time. We thank God for another day's journey. And certainly He has kept us from our early morning rise until this evening. Song says, ooh, we what a blessing. There's so many things God has done for us today that we cannot enumerate or recount, but we thank Him. Yeah. Now I know what the Word says, in all things give thanks. Yeah. Amen. Certainly thank Deacon McLean for that devotion. Posturing our hearts toward heaven's way to hear the voice of God speak to us. We speak because God speaks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalms 25. Psalm 25, it reads this way, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Word of God for the people of God. The word is blessed. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Verses 1 through 15. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did quake or shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. The word of God is blessed. I want to talk about post-resurrection appearances. Post-resurrection appearances. Post-resurrection appearances. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Words penned by Bill and Gloria Gaither. Words of this most noted hymn, Because He Lived, encapsulates the joy of having a risen Savior. Because He lived, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living. Just because He lives. We ought to be able to sing these words with fervor and faith, vitality and energy, enthusiasm and excitement, because we don't serve, we don't believe in a dead Savior. He's alive. And He's alive and well. Amen. That all of the Christian faith, all of church, is hinged on the truth of Christ's resurrection. Because without the resurrection of Christ, we would be men and women most pitiful. But now we can sing. Because He lived, I can face not only tomorrow, I can face today. Because He lives, fear is gone. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying. Because He has opened the door of the grave, of the tomb. And He is the firstborn of the dead. That He went down into the righteous holding place of Sheol. place of the dead. You know, I told you that it was a place of the unrighteous and a place for the righteous. And we discovered by way of Jesus' teaching that the rich man went to the place for the unrighteous, and Lazarus went to the place for the righteous. And the word of God says that the saints of God. Now, if you're a saint of God, you don't have to worry. Now, if you're a sinner of Satan, you got to worry. But if you're a saint of God, he has made it all right to lay down and die. He has made it good that we don't have to fear. That the song says, because he lived, all fear is gone. You know, there's nothing wrong with falling asleep if you know there's a getting up morning. You know, I talk often about, you know, those who are dead in Christ. Paul likens to being asleep, and all of us have went off to sleep before. And the next thing we know, that is morning. That time is swift. Ah. He says you'll be changed in a moment. Twinkling of an eye. Before you can blink your eye, before you can snap your finger. I'm not afraid. I don't fear because he lives. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to the Christian faith, and without which there would be no Christian church, nor salvation for lost souls. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Can you imagine doing all of this for nothing? Dressing up Sunday after Sunday, coming on Tuesday, coming on Wednesdays, coming when the church gathers together or is called together. And all of this is vain. I thank God that all of this is not vain, because my preaching is not vain. My teaching is not vain. Your teaching is not vain. Your showing up is not vain, because Jesus lives. Jesus, he predicted that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. So the Jewish religious leaders did what they could to make Jesus out to be a liar. Matthew 27 verses 62 through 66. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest he or his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Sealing the stone and setting a guard. The stone was sealed by ropes that was mingled with tar and mingled with a concrete substance. So it was not easily moved. Matter of fact, we see that God dispatched an angel to do what was considered humanly impossible to do. So they sealed the tomb because they only wanted to hold him for the 3 days. Let's make him out to be a liar. If he get up within the 3 days, then people will believe he's the Messiah. So what we will do as religious leaders to guard the people against such deception, to keep his disciples from coming and stealing his body, we will roll a stone into the mouth of the tomb and seal it. And on top of that, we will set a guard, somebody to watch. Watch the tomb at the mouth of it so nobody could go in and no one could come out, supposedly. They would keep him in because he couldn't get up on his own. They said he couldn't get up on his own and he can't come through the stone, so we're going to seal him in. And you have to watch people that try to seal the Lord in a particular place. You know, to their little finite idea of his person and power. We can keep him in. So we seal the stone and we place a guard. Now here it is, the third day. And Jesus has been raised from the dead. And God has sent an angel to roll away the stone. And the Bible says that at the very appearance, at the presence of the angel, it was so terrifying to the soldiers that they fainted. But now they saw something before they fainted. They fainted. Y'all hold on to that. Because when they go to tell their story, they're not going to say anything about the supernatural. So first of all, I want you to see the action preceding the appearance. Now here it is, two women going to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and they knew where Jesus had been laid because they saw where Joseph and Nicodemus rolled the stone over the opening of the tomb. Now, the two women arrived at the tomb. Verse 1 says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Their expectation was to anoint a dead Jesus. Now, let me tell you why. They were not among the disciples when Jesus said to the disciples, give me 3 days and I'll rise again. So they didn't hear Jesus' message. So their expectation was to make it to the tomb and anoint the body of a dead Jesus. Notice, when they arrived, they had an encounter with an angel. A supernatural being. A heavenly being. They had an encounter with an angel. And notice how the Bible describes his radiance. Verses 2 through 4, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now notice the earthquake. Now last time we talked about the earthquake and the significance of the earthquake to get the attention of people. When God gets ready to speak, he would often shake the earth. So they were not asleep, and if they were asleep, the earthquake would have woke them up. Because God had something to say. God had something to reveal. He wanted them to know that his son had risen. He shook the earth. And the angel of the Lord. So it wasn't a demon, because you know demons are angels too. But they are not called angels, they are called demons. For we understand this to be because when Satan rose up against God, Satan and a third of the heavenly beings, the angels, were expelled from heaven. And they were cast upon the earth as lightning. Oh. So here it is, this heavenly being, this angel of the Lord, this messenger of God. He has a message for the ladies. But notice his radiance. His countenance was like lightning. You know, when you're driving along or you're looking out of the window of your home and it's lightning, you can't stand to look at it. It'll make you close your eyes and bat your eyes because of how bright and brilliant lightning is. You know, when you see lightning, you know, it brings a fear over you. I can remember as a boy, when it would be lightning, mama and grandmama said, get somewhere and sit down. The Lord is doing his work. Come on, I ought to have some saints, some old school saints in the house. Cut off the TVs and cut off the radio and cut off the stove. And if it got worse, bad enough, just unplug the refrigerator. You got to disconnect everything because they didn't want to lose nothing. Because when the Lord is doing his business, you get somewhere and sit down. And you know, we call ourselves protecting ourselves against, you know, lightning surge control switches and plugs and all that kind of thing and all that. But it was like lightning. You can imagine how it seemed and how it was for the ladies to see an angelic being. You know, we be praying for the supernatural, but you know, we can't hardly stand it. Lord, send an angel, and if he sent them, you couldn't stand it. Because they couldn't hardly stand it. They saw the countenance as lightning. And the clothing as white as snow, symbolism of the purity of the angel. And it was so magnificent that the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now, notice the reassurance. Now, you see the radiance, but notice the reassurance in verses 5 and 6. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. Now, the soldiers had to be afraid because they were not in Jesus' camp. Oh. But the women who were in the camp of Jesus, who believed in Jesus, the angel said to them, be not afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. So the angel announced the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The angel served as a forerunner, a herald of the resurrection of Christ. You know, Jesus would use his disciples in the same way. Before he would go into a city, he would send them before him, and they would make ready the way. Y'all missed it. He's doing the same thing with us today. We are preaching and preaching and teaching and teaching the return of Christ before he returns to make ready the way. See, when Christ comes, If you are listening to preaching, if you are listening to the declaration of his coming, if you are listening to people tell you of his coming, teachings of his coming, you won't be shocked when he comes. But if you ignore it, you won't be ready. So he sends the angel to make ready the way, to prepare the hearts of the women to receive him. Jesus was dead. Now he's alive. Here it is, something we have never seen before. A dead man alive. Now, I'm not talking about resuscitation. I'm talking about resurrection. And they had never seen an angel before. So you had two new things happening. Here it is, an angel sent from God to prepare the women to receive Jesus. Notice his request. Verses 7 and 8. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he goes before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. When you have a supernatural encounter, you ought to catch a case of the can't help it. See, I can tell some of you haven't had an encounter because you don't have a case of the can't help it. See, when you have a supernatural encounter, you just got to tell somebody about Jesus. Do I have anybody in here? See, some of you all are like Nicodemus and Joseph. Y'all are silent saints. Y'all are undercover brothers and sisters. But when you have an encounter with the Lord, when you have an epiphany, when you have a God moment, all the Bible says they ran with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. That was actions preceding the appearance. But you know, Jesus understands that you can't be accurate with other folks' word. Not just an encounter with an angel, but you need an encounter with him to get it right. Y'all missing me? Ask Paul when he was Saul. He heard. He even saw while Stephen was being stoned, the heavens opened, and how Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. He witnessed all of that, but he had to have his own encounter. And while he was on his way to Damascus, Jesus met him on a one-on-one with people around him. Listen, you can be in church with people around you, and God can still have a one-on-one with you. And people don't even know he's having a one-on-one with you. They look at you and you weeping. And they asking you, are you all right? And you don't have nothing but a trembling mouth. They watch you and see that your life has changed. And then they start calling you and say, well, I noticed that a change has come up on you. Are you all right? See, God can have a one-on-one with you while people are around you. These women were on their way, and they ran into Jesus. They were on their way to share with the disciples what the angel said. And they ran into Jesus. Here we have the action during the appearance. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my disciples, or tell my brethren, to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You know, there's a level of obedience, a degree of obedience that's necessary for an encounter. I don't want y'all to miss this, because they were going as the angels had instructed, or as the angel had instructed, and in their obedience, they ran into Jesus. He said to the women, "Go tell them what I had said with them before, and if they want to see me, they need to obey me." So there's a degree of obedience necessary to have an encounter. He says, "Go tell them." So the women, first of all, met Jesus. They met Jesus. They had an encounter with Jesus. After they met Jesus, they heard Jesus. They heard him. After they heard him, they worship. Now, if I had time, I would deal with feet, face worship. Too many people are trying to come face to face with God instead of having their face to his feet. You got some arrogance in church. Pride and conceit. You know, you got a lot of people not broken yet and surrendered unto God, because, you know, they feel they can do it their own way. Very little obedience, if any obedience at all. But face feet worship is necessary if you would worship. See, in the presence of God is one place you can't stand erect. You have an encounter, you go on your face. They worship, they grab his feet, which was an expression of their humility and their respect for God. Boy, if I had time, I would talk about how people of the church today have lost respect for God. Oh, I can remember when I was young, you know, you talking about doing some stuff in the church. We didn't even do things when we came by the church. Playing that music, you know, the hip hop and that rap. And we saw a steeple. As the old folks said, we saw the antenna. We cut that music off. Talking a little jive and junk, you know, using a little profanity. And when we got close to the church, we zipped our lips and asked the Lord for forgiveness, because we were afraid of disrespecting the Lord. Now, you not only have folks that are cuss you coming by the church, you got folks that are cuss you in the church. Y'all come on up in here. And then got the audacity to talk about in Jesus' name. They worshiped, they had humility, and they had respect for him. And the Bible says they obeyed. They obeyed. They went to share the message of Christ with the disciples as a reminder of what he had said to them. Now turn with me to Matthew 26, verse 32. "But if I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." So they reminded the disciples of what he had said. See, that's what preaching is. Preaching and teaching is not coming up with something new. It's just reminding you of what he said. See, Paul says, if anyone comes to you preaching another gospel other than the gospel we preach, that person is accursed. Because preaching is to remind you of what the Lord said. You don't need anything new when you're sitting there wrestling and grappling with the old. You got to come to obedience with what is written. I hear people of this new age era, you know, say, well, the Bible is out of date and we need to upgrade the Bible. The devil is alive. Because the book is a living book. He can deal with you for where you are and what you are dealing with in this era with the Word of God, because his Word is never out of date. Remind them of what I said. And if they want to see me, they need to go to the designated place. Don't miss that now. They need to go to the designated place. They need to meet me in Galilee. They need to meet me where I told them to meet me. And they will see me. So that's actions during the appearance. Here's the last. Actions following. The actions following the appearance. Now, the guards, the soldiers woke up out of their spell. You know, out of their state of unconsciousness. And they told the chief priests what happened. Now, hear this. The first time they told the truth. They told the chief priests what happened. Verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. They told the chief priests what happened. Now, here's the second thing. They sold the truth. They sold the truth. Because verses 12 through 15, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money. Now, they offered the money and they took the money. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. For a sum of money, the soldiers agreed to lie. How much is your truth on sale for? I'm just trying to let it simmer. How much is your truth? How much would it cost to make you twist the story or remain silent? I'm just trying to let it simmer now. Because they agreed to lie. They sold the truth for cheap. And the Bible says that lie widely circulated among the Jews, and many believe the disciples stole Jesus' body. However, the lie is illogical for several reasons. It's illogical for several reasons. Number one, the disciples feared. So they were not in the place of the body because they feared. They were sheltered in place. Jesus' arrest, trials, crucifixion, and death overwhelmed them and pushed them into hiding. So they couldn't have stole the body of Jesus from their house of hiding. Listen to John. In John 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. So the disciples did not risk their lives to fake Jesus' resurrection. That's number one. It's illogical because they feared. Number two, the soldiers, how could they explain theft when they saw nothing? See, if you say what you don't see, you lie. And if you say what you don't see, but what somebody else tell you to say, you lie. They couldn't see through their eyelids. They had fainted. They had become unconscious at the appearance of the angel. So their story was illogical. How can you say someone stole the body and you didn't see it? You know, sometimes in these conversations, you just need to check the source to make sure they're not giving you secondhand information, because some people are telling you what other people have told them. And you know, we used to play the little game at school. You know, you whisper a little something in the ear of a person, and then it would circulate. And by the time it got all the way back around, it was a whole different story. Illogical because the soldiers didn't see. Illogical because the tomb was sealed. And the disciples did not have the manpower to remove the stone. So God dispatched an angel to do what man couldn't do. It took angelic power to remove the stone. Verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. God sent an angel to do what his disciples couldn't do. Oh my. Illogical. Sometimes you need to just sit and think things through. Spend a little time rehearsing in the mind some of this stuff folks saying. You ever heard that old saying, if it's too good to be true, most likely it is? You just need to sit and be silent. You know, more will come to you if you're silent. You know, don't always try to defend something right off. Sometimes just hear what's said. And hearing what's said will prove to you the validity of what the person is saying and the validity of the person that's saying what they are saying to you. Are they valid? They conjured up a lie. They were so against the Lord that they conjured up a lie. Instead of speaking truth, they chose to speak lies. They sold the truth. Listen, there's a time. There's coming a time when every last one of us in here will have an opportunity to say what's right. And I ask you again, what's the cost? What's the price of truth? What you will sell truth for? All of us have an opportunity to speak on behalf of Jesus. How much is your truth on sale for? Listen, when you speak truth, speak it boldly. Speak it everywhere, because truth is truth, because truth is valid everywhere. Speak it. Don't sell out. Speak it. Speak it. Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Any announcements? Church anniversary weekend. This weekend, have a festive day on Saturday and fellowship Saturday and Sunday, encouraging you to come out both days and participate. We have a lot of fun. T-shirts. All right, T-shirts Thursday. And if you can't come Thursday, you can pick your T-shirt up Saturday before the festivities. Anything else? All right. Come on down and say that, because we couldn't hardly hear you. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on. I think that's worth you coming to say. Come on.
Saying that anyone that wants to watch Brunzella Kids services tomorrow, the memorial service will be in Lansing, Michigan at 12 Eastern Time tomorrow, and Pinky will be putting the information on RIM later.
It would be Lansing Church of God in Christ. That would be your YouTube.
Lansing, at LANSING. And it will be at 12 noon Eastern Time, which will be 11 our time, if anyone want to go in and watch the services. Okay. Is that okay?
That's good. Real good. Bible study tomorrow morning at 10. We have our Lent season devotion at 6 a.m. I want to encourage you to get on if you have not shared in that. It is wonderful. It is impactful. empowering. So I want you to get on at 6. Anything else claim my attention? All right. Now, who's a songbird? Old folks say, who can really sing? Somebody say something. Somebody. Who is that? Who? Miss Hutchins? Come on up here and sing us a song, Miss Hutchins, if you will. Y'all, let's make our circle.